Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Infrastructure, roads, bridges, and sewers on the agenda considered by the Bloomington City Council at its regular meeting. In the studio, as he is most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings, is Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Once again, great to be here.
We'll talk about sewers and a right-hand turn lane on Towanda at Vernon in just a moment. Let's talk about Linden Street first. I know you hear a lot about infrastructure from constituents. You talk about infrastructure as mayor and as a candidate. You proposed and supported a $10 million bond issue to jumpstart repaving efforts. You're proposing a bond issue that could total $30 million to further address roads. Why consider a widening of a three-block section of Linden between Empire and Locust? It seems small potatoes in the scheme of things.
It is in the scheme of things, but it's also a critical area in terms of transit between Bloomington and Normal. And so that's the case that Public Works Director Jim Karch made. And essentially, what we're doing is just widening this to about 30 feet. And so it's a comparatively minor change. And we did have actually Michael O'Gorman from the Bike Loan Advocacy Group say that didn't think that we needed to have a bike lane on that particular road. But it is the beginning of us not only putting the pedal to the metal, again, pun intended, on streets and infrastructure, but also the philosophy of complete streets. That doesn't mean that every single street will have a bike lane. It doesn't mean that that one size will fit all. But it certainly is the beginning of us putting more investment in streets and infrastructure that obviously have been neglected for decades.
As motorists travel north, though, won't they be bottlenecked again right there at Empire and Linden as they head north? There's a road there that's extremely narrow, and the parking means two cars can hardly get by.
That's right. And that's actually something that will be phase two to fix that. Absolutely. But just speaking with Linden, of course, the Linden Street Bridge project was on, and we've talked about this in the past. But
the Alderman approved a payment method. They appropriated or approved a resolution to allow motor fuels tax to help fund that bridge.
Right,
last night.
Obviously, it needs to be replaced, but the exciting part about it from my perspective is that it's also going to allow us to extend Constitution Trail along Sugar Creek at some point in the future. So
it was engineered in a way that would allow a trail to pass under.
Absolutely, and that's what I think is really exciting as go forward.
There were three options for Linden Street. The council picked the middle option. Why reject the more narrow option? Why not just rebuild it at the same width?
Well, we went back and forth on this. I think there was, obviously this was a 9-0 vote by the council, but there was definitely some concern by the neighbors that this was not an issue, that this would be a bad issue, that this would contribute to more congestion in their area. At the end of the day, we did side with our engineers.
But as you said earlier, this is a priority. Are there better places, higher priorities to spend the city's limited money to rebuild and repave streets?
Well, this is all part of our capital improvement plan, and that's why we want to act strategically. Now, that doesn't mean that if we have a sinkhole that, some part of a street collapses, that has to alter some of our priorities. So a plan is just a plan. It doesn't mean that you're going to dot every I and cross every T in the way that you thought that you would. But this was actually a critical intersection for that, that has been neglected for a very long time.
That's Terry Renner in the studio at GLT on Sound Ideas. He stops by after council meetings. How often is traffic backed up on northbound Towanda trying to turn right or east onto Vernon? This is at the intersection near La Gondola and Jeffrey Allen's.
Right. Well, from what we understand, only a couple of times a day, not during what we would call in Bloomington Normal a rush hour. Some people would not call our rush hour a rush hour. And then sometimes, as I understand, during the middle of the day, perhaps during the lunchtime. So it was an intergovernmental agreement between Bloomington and Normal to make this improvement.
I guess my question is similar to the previous question about Linden and about priorities. Why spend the money to re-engineer and reconstruct this section of road for a couple of busy times a day when most of the rest of the time it's not an issue?
Right. Well, again, this was part of our capital improvement plan. It's something that the staff recommended. The council did understand that. But I think that as we're going through project by project, it's really hard to figure out all of the different variables and weigh them. And so you do have to take a look at traffic volume, how many times a day do you have, backups or problems. So these are a variety of variables that clearly the engineers make recommendations to the council. That doesn't mean we always go with engineers, but the majority of the time.
The cost approaches $800,000. That includes the traffic signals, which are 40 years old, which probably could be or do need to be addressed. But I wonder what the city is doing to encourage people to carpool or use transit to eliminate such peak congestion. And what's the real harm in peak congestion twice a day?
Well, actually, I don't think there is serious harm twice a day, but I think those were public safety issues, particularly in the condition of the particular streets and curbs. But I think in the broader sense, absolutely. One of the things that we've proposed, of course, and passed is a complete streets ordinance. And complete streets, of course, includes public transit, as well as bicycles and pedestrians. And that's one of the reasons why we partnered with Normal to give $1 million to Connect Transit, so that there could be more regular service, Sunday service. And when I rode a couple weeks ago with Michael Gorman on several of the bus routes, you know, I talked to the people, and this was at peak times, 4 to 5, 4 to 6 or so, and most of the people used this every day, and they depended upon it. And they were thrilled that they had Sunday service, and that they, especially most of them, had the app, and they could tell, you know, when the next bus was going to come. So if we make, you know, our public transit more convenient, more efficient, that is absolutely win-win for everybody, because our streets are going to last longer. We're going to have a more sustainable city. We're not going to have as much pollution. Right? I mean, there are all kinds of benefits for us moving forward. And so I certainly look forward to working with Andrew Johnson at Connect Transit and Mayor Kuss and our colleagues at Normal to figure out ways where we can even make it more convenient.
What about, the city has been a proponent of complete streets. That can help reduce traffic congestion.
Absolutely. If people not only Connect Transit, but bike or walk, if it's easy.
And both communities have stepped up and funded Connect Transit at a higher rate, allowing Sunday service. But if you were to take the $800,000, almost $800,000 you're putting into the Linden and Vernon Street intersection and put that into specific programs to actually encourage people to do things like carpool or promote transit, what sort of return do you think you would get? Would you be able to reduce congestion?
I would assume we'd be able to reduce it, but we don't have any particular evidence in front of us. You know, we know that there's certainly some cities and other places in other countries who have done that. I don't know offhand, of course, what that would be. I don't even have a guess what that might be. But another way that we can help reduce all of the above is by not continuing to sprawl. And that's our master plan, community plan, our downtown revitalization plan, absolutely encouraging people to infill and live in more walkable neighborhoods and more pedestrian, bicycle-friendly neighborhoods, and have more things to do in those places. Like we have, you know, the Green Top Grocery opening fairly soon.
You've taken on a couple of nicknames during the campaign. One of them they're not using could be the infill mayor.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Because you've been a strong proponent of that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that's absolutely essential. It's smart growth for the future. And for many reasons, we see how much money it's going to cost us to fix our sewers. And 25% of our sewers were built before 1900. We've got lots of capital expenses. The costs of sprawling out are really being felt. We've got a lot of drainage issues, severe drainage problems on the east side of Bloomington. And so we've got to address those. Now, that's the past is the past. We deal with what we have now. But there are lots of very viable older neighborhoods and areas that could have commercial properties, like the Green Top Grocery along Constitution Trail, that we are aggressively attempting to revitalize.
We'll talk about sewers in just a moment. We invite the mayors of Bloomington and Normal to sound ideas following regular council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Mayor Chris Kuss. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner is in the studio today. We'll talk sewers in just a moment. You're talking about infill, and I just wonder if there are any more. We've talked about this before. If the city or if you are any closer to announcing plans for the corner of Chestnut and Main Street, where the former Electrolux Broman facility was. That's certainly a prime vacant lot infill lot.
Absolutely, it's an infill lot, and it had been sitting vacant and a hazard, the essence of a blighted building, for well over a decade. And so we started with code enforcement, and now we've purchased the property. We're in the process of establishing a TIF district for that area. Illinois West End will partner with us, and we'll send out a request for proposals. I don't know what the timeline on that will be, but much of the interest of people that I've spoken with over almost my entire term for that particular property would involve apartments and townhouses, and possibly some light retail, but mostly residential. And that would also, it'd be a huge benefit, I think, to Franklin Park, our oldest park, beautiful, old homes on that park, historic. I think that that would be a huge asset. I don't have a specific timetable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
if I did, I could give you a ballpark. I would assume within the next couple of months, but I don't. I like to underpromise and overdeliver.
So the TIF district hasn't actually been approved. We're still looking at that.
We're still in the process of establishing it.
Okay.
Yeah. The council did vote to go forward with it. It just needs to be approved. And just by the way, it would include the Burr House, and it would include El Portone. It would include a little bit more that TIF district than just that block. But we are being as surgical as possible with TIF districts, given, frankly, the abuse of power of the one that was established in downtown back in the late 1980s.
Glad to hear El Portone's involved because, I mean, who doesn't like tacos, right? I've heard about private sewers in the Grove, Olive, Gridley Streets area. It wasn't until recently I heard about these private sewers. What is a private sewer, and what kind of problems do these sewers create?
They create...
Could the city address some of this last night?
Yes. Yeah, so essentially, this whole area we are now, going in and doing a 21st century sewer system. We have all kinds of sewers, and even that drain into all types of different places. And we even have still people with septic tanks within the city of Bloomington. So our sewer system is a mess. And I can think of a bad word to use, but I won't use it. It's in bad shape. And the estimate is $141 million is what will cost us to fix our sewer systems. And that's another reason, by the way, not not sprawling and continuing to just spread out further and further and be more dependent on the automobile transit.
So these private sewers run from the homes and then run long distances to actually hook into the city sewer system. That's going to be eliminated as the city runs new sewer lines along Grove and along
In this
Olive.
Particular area, yes. But that's only, as we've talked about some specifics, you have to start somewhere. And so these are often like one project at a time.
So why now? This seems long overdue. Why not earlier?
Well, because we now have our sewer master plan in place. In fact, we got capital improvement plans across the board. From what we can tell, Bloomington didn't have capital improvement plans, which is really mystifying to me. I don't know of another metro city that didn't have that. Well, we now do have capital improvement plans. What are all of our assets and potential then liabilities? That would include the city hall. That would include the library, obviously. It would include our streets and infrastructure. A complete analysis of all of our capital assets and the condition that they're in, and when are they going to need to be fixed or repaired so that we can properly budget for these things moving forward.
Some of these sewers, 140, 150 years old, these private sewers, in bad shape.
In mostly bad, very bad shape.
And I guess more importantly for area residents and motorists and bicycles, once the sewers are complete, what happens to Grove Street? Because I can't think of a street that I'm on regularly that's maybe in worse shape than that section of Grove.
Well, obviously, we've got to fix the sewers underneath Grove and then in other streets and any other electricals or any other type of utilities that are underneath before we pave over them. Because we don't want to pave a street and then have to tear it up in 5 years or 3 years. And actually, that the condition of Grove Street is, I'm sure, one of the factors that led the staff to recommend that this be at the top of the list.
Any cost to homeowners to hook into this new sewer then?
Well, it depends on the home. Mostly, no, but it depends on the condition, the type of sewer that they have. The city doesn't do this. They would have to go to, let's say, if they're not connected currently, they will have to go to a private plumber to have them connected to the city's sewers if they're not already connected.
A quick campaign question. A lot of candidate forums this campaign season. GLT has a mayoral forum Thursday evening at 6 p.m. You've agreed to attend that. What do you think the number of campaign forums says about community interest in this race?
Well, I hope it says that people are paying attention and are interested. We're not used to voting February 28th, right? I mean, people aren't even that used to voting in early April. In the last mayoral election, we had moved heaven and earth to expanding electorate by over 1,000, but that still got us from 19 to 21% turnout. My guess is in February, we might not even have 10% voter turnout. I hope I'm wrong. I hope people are more engaged because if people make intelligent decisions, intelligent choices, I think we make the best progress in our community. So I'm certainly hopeful. We definitely know that there are some people in the race who are trying to replay the national election. And that's most unfortunate because at the local level, mayors have to actually deal with real problems in real time. People need answers, not anger. And we see several candidates who primarily are offering anger. And frankly, all of my opponents are having, I'm not even sure what they think, how they think they're going to actually deliver on the promises they're making.
Well,
that's the problem.
Well, we're looking forward to having you and the other candidates join us at 6 p.m. during the League of Women Voters GLT Candidate Forum at University Galleries in Uptown Normal. Thanks for agreeing to appear. We appreciate
it. Awesome. Of course.
And thanks for being on Sound Ideas as well. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Mayor Terry Renner and Town of Normal Mayor Chris Koos are regular guests on Sound Ideas.